Again, good morning. Happy Sabbath. How many of you were blessed by Lee Vinden last week? If you were, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I know that you can say this, so if you do hear something valuable, you can say amen when I say it. This morning, I want to talk to you about the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that God has given to each of us. But before we go there, will you pause with me one more moment as we ask God's blessing upon the reading of His Word? Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank You and we praise You. Lord, I ask that You will fill me with Your Spirit, that You will empty me of self, and that all that I speak will be from Your Word and will be truth and will hit home with each individual here. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Spiritual gifts in the church. How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Raise your hand. A few? Now let me ask you, can you have more than one?
Yes.
Good, good. I want to go back to our verse as you look at it again. It says, Ephesians 4:8, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That means He has given each and every one of you a gift. There's no one in this congregation that does not have that gift. And it's not only the spiritual gift that we will find in Corinthians and in Romans, but did you know what grace is? Grace is an unmerited what? Unmerited favor, or another translation is an unmerited gift. So the grace that is given to you is a gift. Redemption that is given to you is a gift. Salvation, the Holy Spirit. There are so many gifts that God has given unto us. And my question is, why aren't we happy? We should be happy with all these gifts that are given unto us. And I had to ask, because as I read this, I go, what does it mean that He led captivity captive? You know, we are all born sinners. We all have that tendency. We all fall under that captivity. And this reference here comes from the Psalms. It was speaking about when the Israelites were held in captivity in Egypt. And I go, well, where does that lead us? How do you hold captive captivity? You see, He exchanges the captivity of the bondage to sin and this world to being captivated by His love.
Amen.
Have you ever been captivated by love? It's a wonderful experience. The scriptures say in Acts that the apostles were compelled to say and to do the things that they did. And that compelling was done because of love. So I want to give you the spiritual definition for this spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to each Christian, naturally or spiritually, according to the will of God, for the well-being of the body of Christ. Now, that's a mouthful. And I need to have you understand there's two phrases there, naturally and spiritually. And I'm going to explain that a little bit later, that there are divine gifts that are given to us naturally from birth. Honey, I bet that you were born with a piano in your hand. You see, there are some of us that have the gift of music, and no matter how much training I have, I am not going to have that gift. And He has given us all different gifts so that we as a body can come together and encourage one another and build up one another. That's why when we take the opportunity to separate ourselves from the body of Christ, when we say, you know, I just don't feel like going to church this morning, that what ends up happening is you deny someone that gift that God has given you. See, I get ecstatic about coming because I can share my gift, whatever that gift is. whether it is of service or whether it is of teaching, but each of you have these gifts. Now, the goal of the spiritual gifts, and let's see if I can read it up on the screen. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. So tell me two things that I've already read. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Equipping the saints and edifying the body. Can you give me another word for edifying? Say that again. Building up, encouraging, educating, uplifting. My question is, no matter how small you think your gift is, your gift will build, edify, encourage, and lift up the body of Christ. That is if you're choosing to lay hold of the gift. Because like most people, we can give someone a gift, but they have to take the gift. God has given to each of you a gift. But I want you to also know what the end result of this gift is for. Not only for the church, but what is underlined, it says, for the unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus, Son of God. All last week, Pastor Lee talked about knowing Jesus. Amen. And you want to know what your spiritual gift is for? It's for knowing Jesus. It's for building up the body. When we become part of the body, when we are unified together, we become other-centered instead of self-centered. Instead of me-centered. We begin to start thinking about, what am I doing to serve the body? Now, this is not a message for the nominating committee or for the offices, although it may sound like it. But I'm talking about every day using your gift to build up someone, to encourage someone. Because in doing that, God in turn builds you up and encourages you. Ephesians 4:12 through 16 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Second thing that we see, or actually this is the third or fourth thing that we see that spiritual gifts do, is that it makes us more like Him. Now the interesting thing is that we need to continue to come back to what I originally said. Exodus 19:4 says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to the promised land. Brought you to where? Again. You see where the whole Bible leads to. All of these stories is about bringing us to Christ. Helping us to have that intimate relationship. And I want you to know that each one of you has or have been given a gift. It has been promised to you in the Bible. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you have received some of God, excuse me, each of you have received some of God's gift so that those gifts to help others. I can't read today. Why don't you read this for me? Go ahead, let's start.
Each of you has received some of God's gifts, so you use those gifts to help others, like other stewards, and minister God's grace into.
You guys did awesome. Sounded good. The TCW stands for the Clear Word Vision. And did you see that? To each of you, for the purpose of being good stewards and helping other individuals. Now, I want you to see, here are a couple of passages that we get our spiritual gifts from, and I just wanted to list them. In your bulletin, there is actually a sheet that lists pretty much 98% of the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. But you will find them in these passages and others. So the Bible is full, but you know what? Have you ever been to a church where it seems to be only emphasized on the spiritual gift? Have you ever noticed when someone is expecting everyone to speak in tongues? You see, not all are given the same gift. And it's not the gift that we should strive for, but it should be what? The fruit of the Spirit. You see, the gifts lead to the fruit. And sometimes we get so caught up on the vehicle of the gift that we don't realize the destination is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the kindness, the patience, the joy, the long-suffering, the character of Jesus is the destination that the gift leads us to. Now, this is really too small for you probably to read, but I wanted to show you all the different places and the different gifts that you can find in each of these scriptures. And you can see that there are many different types of gifts, and we will go through a few of those. But I wanted to add that so you yourself can investigate as you read and as you pray, Lord, show me what my gift is. Because 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, it's true that there are different gifts, but they are all come from what? The Holy Spirit. So each of you having that different gift comes from the same Spirit. If it comes from the same Spirit, then what is the goal? All our goals will be in unity, will they not? We may have different methods, we may have different gifts, but our goal, because it comes from the same Spirit, will be the same. To encourage, to uplift, to exhort the body of Christ, and to reflect His character. The gifts are already ours. It says, this is faith that I live by, page 292. It says, the gifts are already ours in Christ, but their actual possession depends upon your reception of the Spirit of God. Have you taken that gift? Do you remember the story of the man with the talents? How one was given one talent and another 10 and another 5. And what they did with that talent? You see, God is saying, here, you have been given these gifts. What are you going to do with it? Because if you do it, if you use it for what I gave it to you for, I will give you more. We may not possess all the gifts. And I want to get this clear too, and I think I'm going to come up to this soon, but I want to read this quote. If they are connected with Christ, if the gift of the Spirit are theirs, the poorest and most ignorant of His disciples will have a power that will tell upon hearts. God makes them the channel for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. And to that the people should say, amen. Because did you hear that? It says you don't have to be a doctor to understand. You just have to serve the great physician. You don't have to have a master's, but you got to know who the master is. It says here, the most ignorant of his disciples will have the power to touch the heart because they are connected with Jesus. Wouldn't you like that? To be able to have the Spirit that you come along and we can say we have kindred spirit. Do you remember when Elizabeth came in to the company of Mary? They both were pregnant. And what happened to Elizabeth's baby? It leaped. The Bible says it leaped within Elizabeth's womb. You know, that's how we come as kindred spirit together. This is the unity that God calls us, that we are excited about coming to church because we're in the presence of one another. We're here to encourage and uplift and exhort. Now, the question comes, how can you discover your spiritual gift? There are a couple ways. Explore the possibilities, experiment with as many of the gifts as possible, examine your feelings, and evaluate your effectiveness. This sounds really technical. This sounds really technical, but I want you to think about it. You know, sometimes we get locked into our spiritual gift. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I've been in churches where a person says, my gift is the gift of hospitality, so I'm not going to do anything else. Or my gift is the gift of music, and I'll play the piano, but I'm not going to do anything else because that's my gift. The thing is God gives us gifts. He does not always call the qualified, but He qualifies those He calls. So you may have the gift of music, honey. Well, not may, you do. You have the gift of music, but you never know. God may call you to use the gift of teaching. And this is how you find out. You explore the possibilities. If the pastor comes and says, hey, honey, can you teach so-and-so for me? You explore the possibility and allow God to work with you. Because, you see, if we think it's all about us doing it, we have missed the boat. It's about God doing it. Now, He does give some of us from the very beginning special talents and abilities, and we should use those. But look at Moses. Was Moses a leader? No, but God called Moses. And Moses came with a whole bunch of excuses. Lord, I can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. He goes, don't worry, for I will be there. I will put Aaron as your mouthpiece. But we also continue to see Moses speaking to different people. So you need to explore the possibilities. You need to experiment with as many gifts as possible. I might get up here and try to sing once or twice, and then you're all going to say, that's not your gift, Pastor. And I will know from that point on that maybe that's not my gift. So you need to explore and understand that our gifts sometimes are reinforced by what your brothers and sisters say in Christ. Another thing is to examine your feelings. Do you feel okay? Do you find joy in that gift? Maggie, when you teach, do you find joy in teaching? See, she loves to teach. And so we know that there is joy in the gift that is given to us. And so as you're experimenting and trying these gifts, see if God... Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be nervous. Even today, as I stand up here, I get nervous as I speak before the people. But I'll tell you, there's no greater joy than talking about Jesus. And there's no greater joy than serving people. I would say if I was looking at my own gifts, I have the gift of a teacher and the gift of a servant or helps. And we will look at those different gifts. Matter of fact, because I'm looking at the clock, I'm going to lead you all the way up to what the gifts are. And the next time we meet, we're going to talk about all the gifts. Because if I did, I'd keep you here till 12:30. Don't want to do that. And then evaluate your effectiveness. You may find once you get up and preach once that it wasn't very effective. Or teach. Or help. Now you also need to realize the 147-805 rule. I know you'll memorize that. The Wright brothers failed 147 times before they flew. Edison failed 805 times before he invented the electric light. You know, just because you teach once, honey, and it doesn't work out, try it again, and God will give you the ability. But if we've given up before God has even given us the opportunity to depend on Him, we've missed the boat. Now, I want to talk about natural talents. This comes from Child Guidance. And it says, it is only by the right use of the talents that our character can be developed someone say that for me? Thank you. You guys are doing good. All that we are, all the talents and capabilities we possess are the Lord, to be consecrated for His service. I want to read that last statement. All that we are, all the talents and capabilities we possess are the Lord's, to be consecrated to His service. Are you a teacher? Are you a doctor? Are you a dentist? Are you a contractor? No matter what occupation that you work in, that is actually a gift been given to you. Unfortunately, we think, yes, I've educated myself, and I've learned this, but I can tell you there's a lot of people who've been educated in fields, and it's still not their gift. And they do it very poorly. And so if you are in an occupation that you excel at, I want you to know that that occupation is a gift from God to you. And according to this, it should be consecrated to His service. So whatever you're doing as a job, think about it. Are you consecrating it to His service? That doesn't mean that we always have to say Jesus at our job. But it means that we have to have Jesus written on our face and in our hearts. As we deal with people, we will deal with them compassionately and with grace. And that shows people that even in our occupation, that we are utilizing His gift for His service. God gives the talents, the power of the mind, and it forms the character. I mentioned this earlier, but I had to put this up. Let us not hide behind our spiritual gifts in serving God, but give Him the freedom to develop it, develop in us gifts He sees fit to give us in building up the body. So, what I'm saying is maybe God has given you the gift of service today, but in a year He may be giving you the gift of teaching, or the gift of discernment, or the gift of helps, or the gift of stewardship. We can't get into that, well, my gift is hospitality and I'm staying right here. Praise God that He's given you that gift, but let us continue to allow God to use us through His Spirit in other areas. I want you to know that your gift sometimes is driven by passion. What do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy, you know, as I mentioned about teaching. Honey, do you have a passion for music? And I can tell that passion for music, I can hear it. You play with the heart and not just with the head. You see, the passion that we have for whatever it is, working with children, there's several in here who just love working with children. And they have a passion for it. And you can tell that over a person who's just volunteering to help. Doesn't mean that we won't take volunteers, but God uses that passion to build and give us enthusiasm about what we would like to do for Jesus. And as you can see, there's music, children, stewardship, illiteracy, Bible study. Where's Jonathan? Jonathan, don't you teach an ESL class, English as a second language? Do you have a... Yes, you have a passion. I see your head going up and down. It's not just a job, but it's an opportunity. It says here, the God-given desire of a heart to make a difference somewhere. You know, it's not just in the church, but it's everywhere we step. We should have that passion to make a difference. That was the passion that She was a missionary in, I believe, India, Calcutta. A sister. Thank you. Yeah, she's my sister. Mother Teresa. You know, when she was over there, she saw the hunger and the hurt. And God placed in her a passion to go to a place and to stay in a place that was not very comfortable for her to be in. But because of her passion, she served with a kind, compassionate, and loving heart. And this is what God's calling all of us to do. And this is what makes religion exciting, is that He's given you the passion to do that. Now, for those who know their personality characteristics, sometimes our gifts are based upon our personalities. I'm not going to explain each of these. Choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, melancholy. You're saying, well, here I go about explaining it, but your sanguine is the party type. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. And you can see those sanguine people are the people who are out in the foyer greeting everybody. And your choleric are your treasurer and your administrators. But you see, even our personality traits can shape our spiritual gifts. And then experiences, education, career, spiritual journey, previous ministry, and painful events. I remember of a woman, story of a woman who got raped several times, and she used the hurt of her being raped several times to begin a ministry, to minister to those who have been raped. People who have been divorced and have gone through the pain of that, they began to step out in a church and begin a ministry to help singles who have gone through the hurt of divorce. And you see, so every painful event that comes to your way is a stepping stone for a ministry. Isn't that wonderful? That even our pain can be a blessing to someone else? Our spiritual journey, wherever you walk, God opens the door for you to be a part. Education, for the teachers that are in this room, God has given you a special talent, and because of your career as an educator, He gives you that gift to also extend it into the body of Christ, to teach and to build up. And then as a, and even in the context of, did you know, John, that our hobbies, I know John MD, he loves camping and outdoors. He would rather be outdoors than in church with me. And I don't blame you for that, John. But I want you to know that that passion for the outdoors is a ministry to the young people in this church. Everything that we do opens up to a ministry that we can touch someone's life within the church. But you know, even with spiritual gifts, there are detours that happen. Gift projection, gift exaltation, and gift exclusiveness. I want to explain these three, and we're almost done for today. Gift projection is for me to project on you my gift and say, honey, you can preach just as well as I can. You need to come up here and preach. That can be gift projection. When I'm placing my gift on others and let it, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in accepting your gift. Gift projection is also what you see in sometimes the Pentecostal church. You come into a Pentecostal church and they're saying the Spirit's not in you unless you're speaking in tongues. And then they expect everyone to speak in tongues. And the thing that we have to realize is we can't project that gift on other people. And we also have to realize that God has given that gift to each one of us for a special purpose. Gift exaltation. I go back to the speaking in tongues one because it seems, again, in our Pentecostal churches, we find that being the most important to people. But there is no gift that is more important than any other. The gift of working in the kitchen, the gift of helps and hospitality, is just as important as the gift of preaching. And the gift of helping somebody outside this church is just as important as prophesying. There is no exaltation of any one gift, because God has created each of us to be that equal. And then finally, gift exclusiveness. And that's saying that we are only taking this gift here, or the spirit of prophecy is our gift, and we're just expecting that to carry us through. God's church has all the gifts and utilizes all the gifts. Here's the point I want to get across today. I've talked a lot about how the gifts come, how they're manifested. The next time I speak, I'm going to actually go over the gifts. That's the second half here. But the question is, I have given my life to you, God. I am here to serve. Show me what that service is. What is your service to God? What is your service to the congregation? Hopefully in your relationship with Him, as you remember the three-foot stool, what is that? Tell me what it is again. Relationships on the top. One leg is Bible study, prayer, sharing. By keeping that stool at home all the time in front of you will guide you to knowing what your spiritual gift is. And understanding that the final aspect of all the spiritual gifts is to be like Jesus. Number one important thing is to be like Jesus. Number two is to build up the church in love. If we are not building up the church in love, then we need to ask ourselves, are we really reflecting Christ? Do we really have that spiritual gift that God has promised that He's given to all of us? And next week, well, not next week, the next time I speak, it is going to be about those spiritual gifts. And I'm going to close with prayer right now, but I want to let you know, for those who are interested to watch after the service, and it's okay if you walk out, I have a little video of the women's tea. We had 80 women at the women's tea, and a total of 96 people with all the servers there. And that was amazing. And I have a video that I will show, but I didn't want to take it during church time because it's about 8 or 9 minutes long. And so we're going to put it up and let it scroll through so you can see, because it's really hard for me to take a picture out of someone. Because everybody likes to have their picture. I know some people say, not me, but it was a great time, and that will be playing after we have dismissed, and if you want to stay and watch it, you're more than welcome. So let us bow our heads as we close with prayer. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that you have promised each and every one of us that gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that we may produce the fruit of your character. Father, be with each one here. Let them remember these things. Let it be etched upon their hearts, Father, that they may go away and understanding that God has a special purpose for a very special person here today. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless each one of us, that you will unify us in that one spirit. As we build up the body of Christ, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.